This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Next Time by Robin Alexander, narrated by Laurie Prince. Chapter 1. I really appreciate y'all agreeing to be a part of my study, Olivia Graham said as she placed a recorder and notebook on the table. What is the study for again? Peyton asked with a blank stare. Ryan rolled her eyes and smiled apologetically at Olivia. I'll be buying her some ginkgo biloba tomorrow, and later on this afternoon I'll hook her up to a car battery. She's due for a charge. Peyton huffed. In my defense, I've been working a lot. That's okay, Olivia said with a laugh. I'm a psychology student, and my thesis is on the dynamics of lesbian and gay relationships. I'd like to talk about when you first met and what your courtship was like. I'm sorry about my mental lapse. I do remember meeting you at the New Year's party and discussing some of this. Then someone introduced me to Patron. Peyton shuddered. That's an angry demon in a bottle. I'm not gay. I don't know if you remember me telling you that, Olivia said as she toyed with her pen. My brother Adam is. I got the idea for this when I reunited with a friend I'd grown up with. While we were reconnecting, I mentioned that Adam had recently married his partner, Eric. Natasha's reaction wasn't what I expected. I guess I just assumed, since she'd been living in California for years, that her opinions would be a bit more progressive. Through this study, I've learned that we make a lot of assumptions about geography. So I began to question people about their feelings on gay marriage. And I was taken aback to find so many viewed it as something simply political. I realized from a lot of my discussions that some people tend to think same-sex unions are more about sex than love. My intent is to show that same-sex relationships aren't that much different from any other, although there are obstacles that you face that I don't. Very cool. I'm excited, Peyton said as she rubbed her hands together. Olivia's hand hovered above the recorder. Are we ready to begin? Ryan and Peyton glanced at each other and nodded. Olivia pressed the record button and cleared her throat. The date is January 17th, 2015. I am with Ryan Seeley and Peyton Foray. They've been together 3 years. Ryan is 42, and Peyton is 41. 40, Peyton corrected. Honey, you're 41. No, I'm not. I was born in... Oh, you're right. Okay, anyway, it was love at first sight. Two souls came together at precisely the perfect moment. Stars collided, the earth shook. Peyton shrugged when Ryan and Olivia stared at her. That's how it felt for me. Ryan, what was your impression? Olivia asked. We met in a bar. I thought she was extremely attractive, but that's not really what drew me to her. As we began to talk, I felt like I'd always known her. Peyton stared at Ryan. That's it? Just a little meat, no lettuce, tomato, not even a pickle? I answered the question, Ryan said with a shrug. Peyton turned to Olivia. Let me lay down the cheese. New Orleans, January 2011. I really appreciate you doing this, Jana Warren said as she stared out the passenger's window of a cab. We've done the Skype thing. I've seen her, and we've talked for hours on the phone. But you can never be too sure these days. I had a nightmare last night that I met her in person, the date was stellar, and we ended up going back to her place. Things were getting intense. Then she morphs into a scary-ass monster and bites half my face off. Damn, the cab driver whispered with a chuckle. I'm your wing woman, Peyton said distractedly as she read an email on her phone. If I see fur or fangs, I'll throw you over my shoulder and whisk you away. You should try it sometime. The online thing. Jana fidgeted nervously. Melanie is amazing. We like all of the same things. She loves to cook and going to wine tastings. She'll devour a whole book in a weekend, sometimes two. She's fiscally responsible. Her retirement plan is kick-ass. Jenna sighed. She's perfect. Or at least, she seems so. But tonight we'll decide if all of our chatting will pay off. Peyton stuffed her phone into the pocket of her jacket and laid a hand on Jenna's shoulder. Relax. You babble when you're nervous. Then you get mad at yourself and clam up, she said as she picked a piece of lint off Jenna's sweater. You look great. And you smell pretty good. You'll do just fine. Peyton's advice fell on deaf ears because as the cab pulled up at the curb in front of the bar, Jenna began to pant like a dog. Peyton pulled a couple of bills from her pocket and handed them to the cabbie. Give us just a sec, please.
I can't go in there. We were doing so well online. Why should I mess it up?
Peyton met Jana's unfocused gaze.
This is for your own good, she said, and thumped Jenna on the ear.
Ow, shit! I hate it when you do that!
Jenna shouted and climbed out of the cab.
Don't judge. We would have been here for an hour otherwise,
Peyton said with a wink for the cabbie, who stared at her in the rear view. Then she climbed out of the car.
Jenna, open that door and go in, or I will punch you in the forehead.
Jenna grabbed the lapel of Peyton's jacket and drew her close.
You stay at my side, and if I start sneezing, that'll be my cue to drag me out of there.
Count on me.
There were only a handful of patrons in the club on a Tuesday night. A woman seated at a piano in the far corner of the room played to a few people gathered around her baby grand. There were two women seated at the bar, and without Jenna having to say so, Peyton knew who Melanie was. She and Jenna had nearly the same short hairstyle. Melanie's was blonde, Jana's brown. They both wore rectangular-framed glasses. Peyton was transfixed by the pair as they slowly approached each other, wearing shy smiles. Then they began to talk at the same time, admitting how nervous they were and how wonderful the other looked. They continued to talk as they moved to a table, and Peyton felt it would be weird to join, so she went to the bar close by.
I don't think we're needed anymore.
Peyton motioned for the bartender and set her gaze on the woman seated next to her.
Are you Melanie's wingwoman?
Ryan Seeley, recently retired wingwoman, she said as she put her hand out.
Peyton Foray, retired as well. Pleasure to meet you.
I'm not the one Melanie wanted. She thinks my partner would make a better bodyguard, but Lee had to work late.
Ryan glanced over her shoulder at the pair of lovebirds. From the looks of it, Melanie won't need any protection or emotional support.
I had to resort to physical motivation to get Jenna to come in here. She was seconds away from a complete meltdown.
Peyton winced.
I hate first dates. They're so awkward. You're sizing them up and you know they're doing the same. You constantly wonder what they're thinking as you try to make a good impression. It's kind of like a poker game. No one shows their hand. And the tension mounts.
Ryan nodded with a smile. You sound like someone who's been fixed up a lot.
I'd like a green apple martini, Peyton said to the bartender when he joined them. And another of whatever she's having.
She returned her attention to Ryan and noted the ring on her finger.
I have been the project of a few matchmakers. You're one of the lucky souls who has found your other half and is living out your happy ever after.
8 years.
Ryan said with a smile.
It's a lot of work.
How so?
One of Ryan's brows rose.
You've never been with anyone long enough to know?
My longest was 10 years.
Peyton propped her chin in her hand.
I thought we worked well. But when Courtney turned 30, everything changed. She told me she wasn't happy anymore, that she'd taken a look at her life and wondered if what she had was all there was. At first, I thought it was the crisis a lot of people go through when they're leaving their 20s. A day after that conversation, she left me for a girl who was barely 21. And that is my story.
Ryan waved off Peyton's money when the drinks came. I'm running a tab, and it's on me. Besides, it's the least I can do after hearing that sad tale.
Thank you. Peyton said after she took a sip of her martini. Talk to me about the work you mentioned. Perhaps I did something wrong. Ryan shrugged.
I have to cook when I don't particularly want to. I watch movies I don't care anything about, go places that bore me. Lee does the same. I suppose the work is always remembering that you have to compromise. We live as one, but we really are two different people. Peyton shook her head.
I did all of those things. We didn't talk, though, at least not about things we should have. I guess we got to the point that I thought I knew what she was thinking all the time. I can look back on it now and see that I'd fallen into that long-term relationship trap where I thought I knew her. We didn't talk about dreams anymore. Know what I mean?
Yeah, Ryan said after a second or two and took a drink.
Peyton shook her head slowly and stared at her glass. That was a really painful time in my life. But it taught me so much. I did things I thought I would never do. I always thought if anyone cheated on me, I would never take her back. But I did that with Courtney. When she left, all I could think of was getting her back. I couldn't remember one negative thing about her. Forgot about all the things she did that grated my nerves. But when we got back together, I didn't see her the same way. All I noticed were her faults. She didn't even look the same to me. She wasn't as attractive. She wasn't as funny as I remembered. I saw her with completely different eyes. We didn't last a month before I called it quits.
We do turn a blind eye to some things. Ryan looked away when Peyton gazed at her. It's the whole love is blind thing, I guess. Sometimes cuts are too deep, and you lose your ability to do that. Peyton released a heavy sigh.
I'm sorry for being a total downer. I don't know what got into me.
Don't apologize, Ryan said with a smile.
Small talk bores me. That's why I'm not any good at it. What kind of work do you do? Wait, let me guess.
Peyton narrowed her eyes and gazed at Ryan's hands. They were smooth, her short nails covered in clear polish. She appeared to be in her mid to late 30s. Her auburn hair was shiny beneath the light directly above her. Peyton couldn't decide whether she considered it short or kind of long. It fell in shimmering waves onto her shoulders when she ran a hand through it. Her eyes were dark brown and almost cat-like, and they disappeared completely when she smiled. She had on a pair of black slacks and high-heeled boots. But the way she gestured when she spoke wasn't ultra-feminine, as her look implied. Beneath her wool coat, she wore a simple white blouse, revealing a string of small white pearls around her neck. Her features were narrow, giving her a delicate appearance along with her creamy complexion.
It's not physical labor. You work at a bank.
Ryan's laugh was lilting as she shook her head. Math nearly kept me from graduating college. Peyton tapped her temple with her index finger.
A podiatrist.
Oh, this is going to go on a long time, Ryan said with a smile.
I give up. Surprise me.
I teach American history at a private school not far from here. Peyton threw up a hand.
That was my next guess. You're lying. Yes, I am, Peyton said with a laugh.
What do you do?
I'm a teacher of sorts, too. I compose the cute but annoyingly repetitious songs you hear on children's educational programming. If you want to learn your vowels, I am the go-to woman. What can't we do with A-E-I-O-U?
Peyton sang and drummed a little beat on the bar.
Right now, I've got one about Punky the Donkey brewing in my head, but I can't seem to make much use of it.
How did you get into that? Ryan asked with interest.
I've always come up with odd jingles. Mind you, I am not what I set out to be. In my youth, I saw myself writing pop hits. Every time I hear a song on the radio about booty, I grit my teeth and say, "Damn, I could have written that."
Peyton shook her head slowly.
It just wasn't in the cards for me. I didn't know that when I packed my bags and headed for Los Angeles. Courtney was a singer and had her dreams too, but she ended up doing vocals for commercials. Through her networking, I met someone who asked me if I could write a song for an animation company he was working with. Tex, his nickname because of his accent and he was from El Paso, is now my agent. They liked what they heard and gave me a shot. I made a reputation for myself pretty fast, and before I knew it, I had more work than I could handle. Peyton held up a finger. You want to know the real irony? I left Louisiana because it didn't hold any opportunities for me, and I ended up right where I started. It's become the Hollywood of the South.
I know. I was late for work last week because a movie was being filmed on the route I normally take. The morning traffic reports are full of warnings to avoid certain areas because of filming. Unfortunately, on that day, I didn't listen. Ryan took a sip of her drink. Music is a great learning tool. I tell my students if they're having a hard time remembering things that will be on a test to write a song with the facts and memorize it.
That's how I made it through school.
Peyton looked over her shoulder at the pair seated at the table behind them. Embroiled in conversation, they hadn't ordered drinks. Jana's gaze was riveted on Melanie.
I think we may have a match.
Ryan glanced at them and nodded. Jana is all Melanie has talked about for the past few weeks. She's a good woman, in case you were wondering. She lives next door to us. We've known her for years.
Jana's good, too. She's not a play-the-field kind of girl. Once she decides she likes someone, that's it.
Are you doing the online thing, too?
No, but I probably should. I mostly work from home now. I don't meet that many people.
Peyton sighed.
I say this because I'd love to play the field, I just don't know where it is. I'm 37, too old in my opinion to hang out in clubs, hence the fix-ups. I haven't gone on one of those since the last one, two, no, 3 years ago.
I know it,
no.
Peyton smiled and picked up her drink.
No, thank you. I've taken my love life into my own hands. Please don't read too much into that statement.
Ryan laughed and raised her own glass in a toast. I wish you success.
I wish you continued happiness, Peyton said as she met Ryan's glass with her own. How'd you meet the love of your life?
I have a friend who considers himself a matchmaker. He wanted to set me up with a friend of his and threw a dinner party. The woman I was supposed to meet didn't know Cameron's plans and surprised Cameron and I both by bringing a date, who just happened to be Lee. Ryan smiled and ran a hand through her hair again. The attraction was instantaneous. Cameron said he could see the sparks flying when we looked at each other. The next morning, when Cameron woke up, he found Lee sitting in his driveway, and she asked him for my number.
Y'all were just meant to be,
Peyton said with a winsome smile. Ryan looked away and nodded. What type of woman are you looking for?
Is your inner matchmaker asking, or is it curiosity?
The latter, Ryan said with an impish grin.
Looks are important, Peyton put up her hand. Don't judge too quickly. I mean that I'd like to be attracted to her physically. But personality is really the key. I'd like someone who knows who she is, who isn't afraid to self-analyze. Of course, that comes from experience after what Courtney did. When she came back, she said she really didn't know why she did what she did and claimed that she never stopped loving me. I never could get her to admit why she felt unhappy. Maybe if we had talked before she took off, whatever was going on inside of her could have been worked out. I want a woman who isn't afraid to talk about what she's feeling. I want to be comfortable enough with her to do the same.
Peyton tapped the bar with her index finger as she thought. My work is important to me. I need someone who will understand when inspiration hits. I need time to work on it.
That's kind of hard to jam into the hours between 9 and 5. A sense of humor is a must and a good work ethic. I can cope with many things. Laziness isn't one of them. Is my list too long?
No, not at all. You know what you want. That's important. Most of what you just said would make a provoking profile on a dating site.
Oh, don't you start, Peyton said with a laugh. Jana was trying to talk me into that on the ride over here.
I won't deny that there are a lot of people who misrepresent themselves on those sites. But look at the pair behind us.
Peyton peered over her shoulder again. Jana and Melanie held hands as they talked. Jana's face was alight with happiness, and Melanie seemed just as enamored. Peyton was genuinely happy for her best friend, because she'd gone through a great many oysters until she'd found what looked like a very promising pearl.
Ryan regarded Peyton as she gazed at the couple. Peyton appeared to be a good catch. She was certainly good-looking. Had Ryan been single, she would have picked Peyton out of a crowd in a heartbeat. She liked what she considered Peyton's daring hairstyle. It was dark blonde, so short on one side it bordered being shaved, and on the other was a shock of messy curls that hung down to her jaw. Her blue eyes were dazzling, even in the muted light of the bar. Her sense of style was certainly appealing. Beneath a blazer, she wore a lightweight sweater. The tails of an Oxford shirt hung halfway down her thighs. She wasn't wearing any makeup, but Ryan could tell that Peyton took care of her skin. Lines were faint around her mouth and eyes. She smiled easily, and Ryan liked that.
"You're studying me,"
Peyton said as she slowly turned and faced Ryan.
"Yes," Ryan admitted without hesitation. "I like your hair."
"Oh, thank you. My hairdresser talked me into this. She said my look was too dated and suggested something edgier. I was in a mood for change, so I just let her do her thing. I nearly hyperventilated when what looked like a 2-foot pile of hair hit the floor. My hair is naturally curly, and honestly, I did look like a poodle that had been electrocuted. She wanted to add what she called subtle highlights, but it was too much change in one day for me."
Peyton patted the short side of her hair.
"I'm still trying to get used to this."
"I really like it. I feel like my look is matronly. My boss knows I'm a lesbian, but it's frowned upon to advertise it in my line of work, according to him. By that, he means nondescript hairstyles and clothing. The more you blend in, the more relaxed everyone is. Which I think is stupid, since we're supposed to gently teach equality. It's a private school, and Mr. Barnes doesn't like to make waves."
"I don't see matronly at all. I would define your style as elegant."
"You don't think I'd look cooler with a mohawk and a teardrop tattoo on my cheek?"
Ryan lowered her voice to a whisper.
"Because that's what I feel like inside."
"Hey, it's what's inside that counts,"
Peyton said as she took a drink.
"I blast rap and club music in my car on the way to work and switch it to easy listening a block away from the school."
Peyton laughed.
"What other wild things do you do?"
"That's it," Ryan said with a frown.
"I'm afraid I've become a sedate adult. Mardi Gras? Forget it. I prefer to be able to sit down in comfort and go to the bathroom when I want. Concerts make my ears ring. Now it's just lazy Sundays and an occasional dinner out. The wildness of my youth has coalesced into a comfy spot on the sofa and a good glass of wine.
When I'm feeling really frisky, I turn my songs into profane ditties. Like Ponky the Donkey I mentioned earlier, that mule gets really nasty and starts spanking a turtle named Myrtle."
Ryan laughed so loudly that even Jana and Melanie turned and looked at them for a split second. Ryan wiped her eyes and asked,
"Have you ever gotten your dirty songs mixed in with the children's stuff?"
"On purpose once. I have a studio in my house, so I'll write and record the projects there, then I send them to Tex. This particular tune was about washing your hands and went something like..."
Peyton shook her head and laughed.
"I don't think I should sing this in front of you. I'm trying to make a decent impression since we've only just met."
"Oh, sing it! I have to hear this," Ryan said with a laugh.
Peyton inhaled deeply and let it out slowly. Her voice was gruff when she began to sing.
"Hello, friend. You know it's a sin if you don't wash your hands. You extend them to me after you take a pee and don't understand why I shy away. I haven't been lurking, but I know you've been jerking the gherkin. Ryan, breathe.
What are you doing to her? Jana asked with annoyance.
Ryan was slumped against the bar, wheezing with laughter.
Peyton shrugged.
I just sang her a little song.
They watched Jana and Melanie for a moment, and Peyton sighed.
We may be watching destiny unfold over there. Wouldn't it be cool for us to be able to say years from now that we were here the night their future as a couple began?
You have a romantic heart, Ryan said with a smile.
Peyton turned back to the bar and took a sip of her drink.
Maybe all of us who are single are inclined to be that way. You dream of the moment like they seem to be having over there. You envision yourself with someone special doing something mundane, and it fills your heart with longing. But I've been there before, and even though I know the reality is that it's a struggle to not get bored and a battle not to focus on those little nagging things too much, I still want it. All of the arguments and compromise are worth that initial all-consuming fire.
Ryan's smile faltered, and her gaze moved to her glass. Where does it go?
The flame? It's smothered by misunderstandings, bills, lack of communication, distrust. I suppose those who have stood the test of time figured out a way to reignite it. Everyone wants to know how. There's books, talk shows, magazine articles that tell us how to do it. But for every couple, the mysterious key is different.
Peyton held up a finger.
This is why I believe in soulmates. Some people are just joined at the hip because they need each other. Some people stay together because they fear they might end up in something worse, like jumping out of the frying pan and into the fire. Some have just given up, become complacent, and cohabitate with a lover who's become a roommate. Then there are those two people who are so deeply connected that their souls have fused together. All the things that smother the fire are still there, but the communion between them is unbreakable. That's what I'm searching for.
Ryan took the last swallow of her drink and motioned to the bartender for another. At night, when it's really quiet, I can hear the whistle of a train. I have this crazy fantasy of stealing away in one of the cars, not even knowing its destination just for the adventure of it. Lee and I used to lay there and come up with all sorts of silly plans to make this happen, and what we'd do.
Now, Ryan sighed. Responsibility is a dream crusher, isn't it?
It sure can be. I have a runaway fantasy, too. Actually, I've done it once, so I guess I can't dub it a fantasy. Last year, my brain completely locked up. I couldn't compose a thing. It was like 10 in the morning, and I got in my car to go grocery shopping. But I just kept going when I should have turned into the parking lot of the store. Next thing I know, I'm on the interstate, doing about 80, headed to nowhere. I rolled down the windows, turned the music up, and just drove. I kept thinking I would stop, but I didn't, until I got off the interstate in Florida.
How long did you stay?
Just overnight, Peyton said with a laugh. I got a hotel room, walked the beaches, stared at the water for a long time, and drove home the next day. No one even knew I was gone. Truthfully, you're the first person I've ever admitted this to. It would have been more fun if I'd had company, but the experience did help clear my mind.
You didn't pack anything? Ryan asked. It was really that spontaneous?
The only thing I had with me was a grocery list, wallet, and phone.
Ryan smiled.
I think that's much better than hopping a train. You can come back when you want, if you want, and there's no danger of being run over.
How far into Florida did you go?
Destin.
Ryan blinked rapidly.
That's,
a 4.5-hour drive. That's about how long it took for me to have the, oh shit, what am I doing, moment. I got off the interstate, filled up my tank, and bought a nerd rope and a Slurpee. The sugar rush made me giddy, and I decided to continue on with my adventure.
I'm going to have to try that, Ryan said sincerely.
You should. Grab Lee and just go.
Lee? Ryan looked at her watch. She's going to be home from work soon. I should make sure Melanie is comfortable and go. She waved at the bartender. I need to settle my tab, please.
Are you sure you won't let me take care of the drinks?
Ryan smiled and handed the bartender her credit card. Drinks are on me. It's my pleasure. This evening has been such a break from the norm, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it because of your company.
I've had a good time, too. Thanks for restoring my faith in relationships.
Ryan's smile faltered again for a second. Then she turned when the bartender presented her card and receipt. Payne watched Ryan sign the slip of paper, wishing their night wasn't coming to an end. Had Ryan been single, she would have asked her out. But it was just her luck that the most alluring woman she'd met in ages was taken.
If those two lovebirds over there take off, we might have the opportunity to see each other again, Peyton said as Ryan stood and gathered her things.
I believe they will. Ryan extended her hand, and Peyton took it. So let's say until next time. Peyton nodded as she reluctantly released Ryan.
Next time.
Chapter 2.
I want you to understand that I won't make your names public, and you'll be able to read what I've written before I submit it, Olivia said, meeting Ryan's and Peyton's gazes for a moment. With that said, I'd like to ask, we didn't cheat, and I wasn't the cause of the breakup between Ryan and Lee, Peyton said, and sighed. I left the bar that night feeling like I'd lost something, she grinned. We had this debate over love at first sight. I say it's real. Ryan says it's euphoria brought on by physical attraction. But the night we met, she took something from me. It was a while before I discovered that it was my heart.
We do have a difference of opinion on love at first sight, Ryan said. Something did happen in that bar. It wasn't physical. The only time we touched was to shake hands. As I look back on it, I still feel a little guilty. I'd always considered being unfaithful as having sex with someone other than the person you're committed to. I left that night feeling like I gave her something that should have been reserved for Lee. Ryan shrugged. I had a desire to tell her all my secrets, and I wanted to know hers. On the ride home, I realized that I'd stopped caring about what went on in Lee's mind, and I had no idea when I had changed. Peyton's right. She didn't cause the breakup. But after meeting her, I did start doing a lot of personal inventory. March 2011.
I'm going to ask you one more time what you've done with her. A single brow rose when nothing met Ryan's ear but silence. One or all of you know what happened. I will fold each of you into tiny little squares until I find her, she said to a pile of towels and washcloths on her couch. She tossed the single sock aside. Turn your back, or toe. Don't watch me do this. I will find your mate. Ryan had always surmised that those who talked to themselves were either lonely or crazy. She felt she was both. Lee left at 5:30 in the morning for work each day and didn't come home until 9 or 10 at night. The only day she didn't go into the office was on Sunday, and she slept most of it and was a grump when she woke up. Lee was caught in the middle of a corporate power struggle between two divisional offices that had merged into one. She was fighting to keep her job, which Ryan understood and supported. She made sure Lee had something hot to eat when she came in, regardless of the time. Ryan also made sure that all of Lee's clothes were washed and pressed, so all she had to do was don them and go off to battle. She just wished that her pencil-wielding night could be more reasonable. When the long days and nights started, Lee asked Ryan to wait for her to do things with their friends. As weeks grew into months, Ryan got tired of spending every free hour she had alone. The night she'd gone with Melanie to meet Jana was the first time Ryan had been out of the house in ages to do anything besides work, and that had caused a fight. When they had first started dating, Lee's jealousy and possessiveness were endearing, cute even. But the jealousy had grown into a monster very quickly, and Ryan grew tired of placating it. They were supposedly working on the issue, but things were only peaceful when Ryan didn't rock the boat. Aha! Ryan pulled the missing sock from a towel, melded there by Static Kling.
Your mate, m'lady, she said as she laid it with the other. I shall now vanquish her kidnapper and...
It had been so long since someone knocked on the front door, she almost didn't know what to make of the sound.
Ryan, open up, my hands are full!
Ryan sprinted across the living room and unbolted the door.
What are you doing here? I was coming to see you today.
I know, her younger sister Shelley said as she laid a sleeping bundle in Ryan's arms.
Evan made the boys fries for breakfast, and guess what? He didn't turn the stove off when he finished. They were all in the den watching some stupid game he recorded when the smoke detector went off. I left to keep from killing him.
She paced back and forth, diaper bag still hanging on her shoulder and slippers on her feet.
The only thing going for me is the ride over, put Anya back to sleep. Do you have any tequila?
It's 9 in the morning, and you're breastfeeding. Ryan closed the door gently with her foot. How about coffee? Shelley was vibrating with anger and waved a hand in front of herself.
Do you really want to caffeinate me?
Ryan nodded. Good point. Tea or juice?
Water,
Shelley said grumpily as she followed Ryan into the kitchen.
How much damage did the fire do?
I couldn't go in there for no other reason than I would kill Evan in front of witnesses. I'm not even dressed. Look at me.
Ryan knew better than to laugh as she regarded Shelley. She had on one of Evan's dress shirts buttoned incorrectly, a pair of boxer shorts, also Evan's and way too big for her, fuzzy pink slippers, and a single curler dangling from a strand of hair.
Where are the boys? Ryan asked as she watched Shelley root around in her refrigerator.
Grant saw the look on my face and disappeared somewhere in the yard. Brody was being given a tour of the fire truck. I love my sons, but I need to be far away from anything that has a penis. That's why I came here.
Ryan was happy to see Shelley and thrilled to cuddle her new niece, but she'd truly been looking forward to getting out of her house. Shelley was the only sister who lived locally and about the only person Ryan could spend time with without Lee throwing a jealous fit. She was about to ask Shelley if she wanted to go to the mall and do some retaliatory spending when she noticed the big smiley face on the butt of the boxers. The likelihood of Shelley fitting in anything she or Lee owned was a million to one. The youngest of Ryan's siblings, Shelley drew the short straw when it came to height. Though her driver's license stated she was 5 feet tall, she was really 4'11". Breastfeeding had stripped off her baby weight fast, and she was skinny as a garden rake. Ryan would never dream of taking offense over being confused for a child, but it incensed Shelley because all her life, she'd just been little. But Shelley made up for her size with her big personality.
Do you want to sit out on the patio? It's like summer outside, Ryan said, trying not to sound disappointed.
I have a love-hate relationship with this kind of weather. We get a day like this, and it makes me feel like planting a garden, then boom, the cold comes back and really pisses me off.
Shelley slammed the refrigerator door.
Yes, let's go outside. Maybe it'll clear the smell of smoke out of my senses.
They chose the swing, since it was mostly in the shade. And the first thing Ryan did when she sat down was pull Anya's socks off, so she could see her tiny little toes.
Month-old baby Binky's so adorable.
If you start kissing on them and wake her up, I will choke you. She's been fussy since 4 this morning,
Shelley growled low.
Evan has a pristine safety record at work. He's never had an injury, has never done any serious damage to the equipment. When he comes home, though, it's like his brain goes on vacation. He's like a zombie that can talk, enjoy whatever sport that's on TV, and beg for sex, but he can't seem to do anything else that takes a thought process. The other night, no lie, he put the milk in the laundry room. I watched him do it, and I asked him why. He claimed he had no recollection. I need to get his head examined. He's 36, way too young to be senile. Lee's been working a lot. Is she that bad when she's home? She showers, eats, and goes to bed. One grunt for yes, two for no. Shelley scrubbed at her face, sniffed her hands, and huffed. Let's talk about something else. I feel myself getting really pissed off all over again. What have you been up to lately? Work. That's about it. I don't know how you do it. There's no way I could be cooped up in a room with someone else's kids. I love my boys, but there are days I could just slap the freckles off them. Because I get to leave my kids at the end of the day, Ryan said as she stared at Anya's sleeping face. Oh my God, but they start off precious, don't they? Uh-huh, but at 4 a.m. when they're screaming their heads off, not so cute. After a moment or two of silence, Shelley said, I'm not happy that my kitchen is scorched, but it is nice to be able to talk alone. I've been wanting to ask what's wrong with you. Ryan looked at her in surprise. What do you mean? Shelley gazed at Ryan, studying her face and eyes. Maybe you haven't noticed that you've changed. You used to be silly. We laugh at the dumbest things. Now you're just blah. Are you saying I'm boring? No, you're not yourself. You haven't been for the past year, maybe longer. Ryan looked away. Why didn't you tell me this sooner? My life is chaotic. I start thinking about you right before I fall asleep at night, and I think to call you, but I know you're already asleep. You're just not yourself. If I changed like that, you'd be all up in my face demanding to know what's going on. Yeah, if you were suddenly at peace, I'd wonder if you were on drugs, Ryan said with a laugh. Shelley smiled, but the joke didn't throw her off topic. She continued to gaze at Ryan, as though she were trying to read her mind. I gripe to you about Evan and the kids all the time. You vent to me about work, teachers that get on your nerves, and the audacity of the grocery store to put stickers on the vegetables. You never talk about Lee, though. I know you're both human, and it isn't all roses and chocolate hearts over here. Ryan held her stare for a moment. It is stupid to put stickers on vegetables and fruit. They don't scan them at the register, and any fool knows what an apple is. Ryan, come off of it. I don't like to talk about my relationship. Mom, Joan, and Paula don't consider it as something real because I don't have a marriage license. You're not talking to them, you're talking to me. And that's a lame excuse. You've confided in me with everything but this. That's how I know that something's going on over here. And you're not happy. Ryan stared down at Anya's little pink toes and debated whether or not to let it all just tumble out. Once she verbally acknowledged what was inside, she knew it would set change in motion, and she wasn't sure she was ready to make that step yet. She knew that Shelley would be open-minded, but perhaps not as patient as she was. If I talk to you about this, it stays with us. And it is mine to deal with how I see fit. You have to swear to me that you won't do or say anything without my say-so. Shelley let out a long breath. I wish I wasn't nursing and you had tequila because I sense I won't like what I hear. Regardless, you have to give me your word. If you want me to confide, those are my terms. I can make that promise as long as you swear you're not about to tell me about any physical abuse. You know me better than that, Ryan said with an edge. Do you honestly think I'd let someone hit me? Shelley shrugged. You could be beating her ass for all I know. There's nothing like that going on. You have my word, Shelley said resolutely. As the words passed Ryan's lips, she felt a mixture of relief and resignation. You're right. I'm not happy. The entire time Lee and I have been together, we've been repeating a pattern, and I've finally gotten to the point where I can't rally. Somebody's awake, Of course she is, because you were just about to say something interesting.
Shelley held her arms out when Anya began to fuss. She stuck a finger into Anya's diaper and nodded.
She's clean.
That means she's hungry. Ryan watched as Shelley unbuttoned her shirt.
You didn't even put on a bra? There was no time. Sirens were going off. I took the baby and ran.
Shelley settled Anya onto a breast and sighed.
It's a good damn thing I'm packing my own dairy.
Continue. Does that hurt?
Not anymore. I've had 3 kids. My nipples are like leather, and when I'm done nursing her, these poor overworked girls are going into retirement. Or what's left of them. Now go on. I want to know about the pattern.
Ryan blew out a sigh.
We'd been together for about a year, and she just withdrew. There was no intimacy, and at times I felt like she resented me. I asked if I'd done something to hurt her, and she'd say no. And that was all I could get out of her. This lasted for like a month, and I thought, okay, we're done. I started to mentally and emotionally prepare myself for a breakup. As my distance grew, she came back, and she was her old self.
So you have no idea what caused this withdrawal? I didn't know then, and I still don't. The first time I thought it was her adjusting to us living together because we just moved into this place. The following year, almost about the same time, she did it again. She became really short with me. When I talked to her, she acted like she really didn't care what I had to say. That time, I really pushed her for an answer, and she said it was just stress and she'd gotten stuck in an emotional rut. Even after she admitted that, she was still distant, and I was so wrapped around her finger, I decided to wait it out. But I got to the point again where I began to accept that we were through. And that's when she came right back. It made me feel like she only wanted me when I got to that point. Like, oh crap, she's gonna leave. I better reel her back in.
And you put up with this? Shelley asked with her brow raised.
That's not your style. Ryan clamped her lips together tightly and stared at the ground.
No, it isn't.
Or it didn't used to be. But I've been going through this pattern with her for years. She's insecure about a lot of things and extremely jealous. If I spend time with anyone but you, it makes her angry. I went to a movie with our mutual friends who were a couple a while back, and Lee actually asked me if we had a threesome.
You've been together for 8 years!
Shelley nearly shouted and upset Anya. After she got the baby settled again, she stared at Ryan. Her eyes wide and angry.
Tell me why you stay.
Because I love her, or I did. I do. The other side of her, the one I met and fell in love with, is what keeps me hanging on. Now, I can't get the part of me that responded to that side back. Here I stand at the crossroads.
Take the path she isn't on, Shelley said impatiently.
Ryan leaned her head back and stared up into the trees. This is the other reason I don't talk to you about this. I'm embarrassed. It's shameful to me to admit that I've been on this merry-go-round, and I haven't had the sense or the courage to get off.
Have some self-respect, woman.
Just like you and Evan, I've built a life with her. Could you just pack a bag and easily walk away if you were in my shoes?
You're asking me that today? I want to go home and pack his bag, and if he wouldn't leave, I'd run him off with pepper spray, maybe a flamethrower.
Neither of them said anything for a few minutes as Shelley's temper cooled.
Is it financial? Shelley asked calmly.
I could help you.
I can afford to live on my own. Not in this house, but somewhere else.
Ryan sighed. This is just something I need to sort out for myself.
I met a woman. Oh my God, how much more can you complicate your life? You're not even done with this one.
Ryan exhaled loudly and glared at Shelley. As I was saying, I met a woman a couple of months ago. She's the best friend of Melanie's new girlfriend, Jana. We talked the night those two got together for the first time. She made a comment about her ex never self-analyzing. She didn't contemplate why she did the things she did. Lee doesn't either. She just reacts to things and goes on.
Or if she does look inside herself, she'll never tell you what she finds.
That's what I want. I want to be with someone who knows who they are, the good and the bad.
I'd like to tell someone who I am and be heard. I'd like to be able to confide in someone about what I think my shortcomings are. Whatever is wrong, I want to work through it together.
Basically, I crave the bond I don't have and come to accept that I never will with Lee.
Shelley shrugged.
I tell Evan who he is, and he tells me who I am. I call him a jackass, and he calls me a nag. Today, I called him a dumb dickhead. I feel bad about that now. I'm still mad, but I regret that, she said as she put Anya on her shoulder and patted her back. So what happens if she comes home tonight and she's the woman you fell in love with?
She might. The problem is, I'm not the woman she met 8 years ago. Ryan wrapped her arms around herself. We're strangers now, and for the first time in 8 years, I don't care. I think we may be finished.
Chapter 3, September 2011.
Lydia seems nice, Jenna said as she prepped chicken to go onto the grill.
I'm going to ask Melanie to move in with me. I'm going to do it tonight after everyone leaves.
Peyton missed her finger by a hair with the knife she was using to cut a bell pepper. She set it aside and stared at the back of Jenna's head.
Seriously?
Jenna stilled and stared out the window at the people gathered in her backyard.
She's here all the time. And I like it. Tell me it's a good idea.
No. Jenna whirled around.
Peyton, you're my voice of reason. Don't screw with me. I love her. I'm happy. We've been together for 8 months. This is the most logical next step.
Right? It's just that you sound so undecided about the cohabitation thing. If you have doubts, you should wait. What's your biggest fear?
That she'll say no.
Peyton laughed and shook her head. That's it?
Well, her cat hates me, but he's going to therapy to work through his anger issues.
Peyton bit her lip to keep from laughing because Jenna was dead serious. She imagined a cat lying on a couch, his paws behind his head, meowing and growling as the therapist made notes.
Anything else?
No, that's it. I want to share my life with her.
Okay, Peyton said with a smile. If this is your decision and you're not being pressured to make it, then I'm behind you 100%.
Jenna closed the distance between them and wrapped her arms around Peyton.
Thank you.
She pulled away and gazed at Peyton with a cheeky grin.
So, getting back to Lydia, how's it going?
Peyton had met Lydia when she did some freelance work. What she found appealing was that Lydia sounded like she had a dozen different people inside of her as she did the voice work for a new animated show. The appeal had begun to wane, though, because they could not have a serious conversation without Lydia lapsing into character.
I'm not sure. Don't get attached just yet. This morning I had breakfast with Steffi the squirrel, which was kind of annoying. Lydia's practicing for some voice work she has to do on Monday morning. I've asked her not to do the squirrel while we're at your party.
Please tell me she doesn't go into character when you're having sex.
Peyton closed her eyes and tried to block.
Well, hello, Ms. Beaver,
spoken in a cartoon voice from her mind. And failed. Like I said, don't get too attached. Jana's jaws sagged, and Peyton could tell she was about to completely lose it. She steeled herself for the forthcoming jokes, but a knock on the front door spared her the humiliation. She went back to work on the bell pepper and tried to choke down her embarrassment. The truth was that after that weekend, she planned to let Lydia and her cadre of characters gently go.
I know you.
Peyton glanced up upon hearing the familiar voice. Ryan, clad in a sleeveless shirt and a pair of shorts, stood just inside the kitchen doorway with a very athletic blonde next to her. Peyton smiled at them both.
Hey, Ryan, good to see you again.
She wiped her hands on a towel and put her hand out to Ryan's partner.
You must be Lee. I am, she replied coolly, and her handshake was like steel. She held Peyton's hand a little longer than normal in a vice grip as their gazes met. Peyton felt like she was being given a not-so-subtle warning, but continued to smile for the sake of Jana's party.
Ryan had nothing but great things to say about you the night we were on wing woman duty. I'm glad I have this opportunity to meet you.
Melanie strode through the back door, beaming, and pulled Ryan and Lee into a group hug.
It's about time I got to see you two. I feel like it's been years.
I've been working a lot, sorry,
Lee said in a completely different tone of voice from the one she used with Peyton.
Come outside, I want you to meet the rest of Jana's friends. You'll love them,
Melanie said as she dragged the pair out the door. Jana followed, and Peyton remained behind with her bell pepper. She and Melanie got along okay, but Peyton realized that Melanie favored Jana's friends who were coupled. Jana never said so, but the few times they did anything alone together, Peyton got the impression that Melanie wasn't happy about not being included. Peyton tried to be considerate of the new relationship, but there were times she just wanted to have her best friend to herself.
Oh, no, Peyton said with a wave. I'll just stay in here and make the salad. I'm happiest when I'm in the kitchen. Fresh drinks, anyone? Later, I'll mop the floor.
Hey, are you packing nuts in that bra, or are you just happy to see me?
Peyton frowned at Lydia as she darkened the doorstep.
I know I asked you not to use that voice.
Ryan listened to the conversation between Lee and Melanie, sometimes nodding at things they said. But her interest was elsewhere. Peyton, Lydia, and Jana were seated on the other end of the table and talked to a couple whose names Ryan couldn't remember. Ryan willed herself not to stare at Peyton. Instead, she gazed at the trees that shaded the entire backyard, the dog next door that paced along the fence hoping for a treat to be thrown his way, the hummingbirds visiting the feeder hanging from the arbor that covered the patio. Eventually, she glanced at the other end of the table and caught Peyton's eye. Peyton smiled, then returned her attention to Lydia, who was speaking in a strange voice. Over the years with Lee, Ryan had developed what she considered innocent crushes on women she knew she was safe in admiring from afar, women she knew she could never have. Actresses, married women, the anchor on the morning news show, all untouchable and safe. Peyton was different, though. She was real and accessible, and Ryan knew if she spent time mulling the odd feeling of familiarity in Peyton's presence, temptation to explore it might occur. Still, she sat there stealing glimpses. Peyton's hair had grown out some. The part that had been shaved was hidden by the longer top that fell in waves just past her jaw. The change gave Peyton a softer look. Ryan noted how pretty her blue eyes were and realized that their gazes had found each other again. She felt a twinge in the pit of her stomach and looked away, thinking it would be best to keep her distance from Peyton, knowing that she couldn't. Lydia might have been a few acorns shy of a load, but she was one hell of a volleyball player. Peyton watched with satisfaction as Lydia spiked a ball Lee couldn't return.
In your face, Lady Thor, she whispered
as someone took the seat beside her. Not into volleyball? Ryan asked with a smile.
Love it, but I ate way too much. Jana's barbecue chicken is a weakness. Can we just get something out of the way?
Ryan gazed at her curiously before saying, sure.
Is Lee the jealous type?
Ryan pursed her lips and nodded. That's one of the things we're working on. Can I ask you if Lydia's on drugs?
Of that? I'm not certain. In her defense, she does a lot of character voices, and I think she gets a little confused. She's really talented and in demand, so she works a lot. I think she's having a problem with the off switch, if you know what I mean.
I met Steffi the squirrel and a very soft-spoken raccoon, but I forgot its name. Who exactly are you dating? Peyton stared at Lydia as she bounced from foot to foot in anticipation of the next serve.
She was agile, athletic, and strong as an ox. Her energy was boundless when it came to sex. She had a sexy pair of bedroom eyes. Desire always seemed to be lurking in their depths. Physically, she was Peyton's dream girl. Peyton scrubbed at her face and sighed.
I think it's the damned squirrel.
An interspecies relationship. How exotic, Ryan said with a laugh.
Does she? Don't go there.
Peyton held up a finger.
New topic. It's good to see you. I kept thinking our paths would cross again. But every time Jana and Melanie had one of their get-togethers, you never showed.
That would fall into the jealousy issue category. Leah doesn't like it when I go to parties without her. And she's been working a lot lately. The company she works for merged two divisions together after the first of the year, and there have been a few demotions and layoffs. Lee feels like her job may be in jeopardy if she doesn't prove herself. They produce a lot of equipment used in the petrochemical industry, and that's still a very male-dominated field. She's putting in extra hours to show she can get the job done.
What have you been doing?
Working, Ryan said with a sigh. The high side is, I've got some really engaging students this year. One of my classes has really gotten into political debates. I see more future Democrats than I do Republicans. Have you written any new songs lately?
I started working on something new to me.
Peyton sat up a little straighter.
A movie. It's not Disney or Pixar, but the company is moving up in the animation industry fast. I'm actually singing two of my songs on the soundtrack for them.
Ryan looked taken aback. I guess I didn't realize that you sang. I mean, in a real voice, not the one you used the night in the bar.
I don't normally. I recorded the two tracks they requested so they could hear them, and the producer felt like my voice captured the character more than the vocalist they hired. I'm headed to Broadway next.
Seriously? Peyton laughed derisively.
I wish.
That ball was in,
Steppy the squirrel yelled.
Honey, Peyton called out with a smile. Stuff the squirrel back in the cage.
Lydia put up a thumb and whirled around ready for the next serve. Ryan sucked her teeth. You're gonna dump her, aren't you?
Just as fast as I can get her to the pound. The really sad thing is she's a lot of fun. We have a good time when it's just me and her, but she's got a whole pack of animals. Inside her.
So you'll get right back out there? Peyton shook her head.
No, I think I'm going to need some therapy before I'm brave enough to venture into the wild again.
It's a scary place, the wild. I guess now we can add rabies to the host of sexually transmitted diseases out there, Ryan said with a grin. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be joking like that at Lydia's expense.
She would think that comment was hilarious. Don't sweat it, Peyton said with a laugh. Ryan's phone had been chirping since she sat down.
She pulled it out of her pocket and sighed. I hate group texts. My 9-month-old niece spit baby food all over her father, and my sister sent the video to me, my mother, and other two sisters. Now they're all trading stories.
How many siblings do you have?
3 sisters and 3 brothers.
7 children?
Peyton practically shouted. Ryan laughed. You would have sounded like Maria in The Sound of Music if you would have said that with a British accent. Our neighbor used to refer to us as the family Von Trapp when I was a kid. If Mom knew how to sew, she would have certainly made clothes for us out of the drapes. As we started to grow up and go off to college, she and Dad would say, one out and handful more to go. Ryan smiled and ran a hand through her hair. That was a big joke because it nearly killed them to see us leave home. She narrowed her eyes. Then they moved to Tennessee, so that whole separation anxiety thing may have been an act. How many siblings do you have? Peyton returned her attention to the game.
Just a brother. Our parents died when I was 8 and he was 3.
Oh, Peyton, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. They were coming back from a weekend trip, and there was an accident on the Causeway Bridge that made everyone come to a quick stop. The semi behind my parents' car was unable to. My uncle and his wife raised us. It's kind of awkward between us now. My uncle and mom were very close, and when he sees me, he gets all teary-eyed even after all the time that has passed. He says I look just like her, and I can't stand to see him like that. So I don't visit them as often as I should.
They fell into an awkward silence as Peyton wondered why she'd blurted all of that out. It was odd to her that she felt she could tell a relative stranger just about anything. Then again, maybe that was just it. Sometimes it felt safer to purge one's soul to someone unfamiliar. Suddenly, it made sense why so many poured out their innermost thoughts to a bartender. Well, that and the booze. Peyton inhaled sharply.
So how many nieces and nephews do you have?
Furrows had formed in Ryan's brow when Peyton finally faced her. She cleared her throat, and her lips moved as she silently counted. 14, so that's 10 girls, 4 boys, wait, 11 girls, I forgot to add Anya, so 15.
Wow, your siblings have basically doubled the herd. And what about you?
Ryan made a face. I am reminded every time I step into a classroom why I don't want to venture down that road. Last school year, I watched 2 14-year-old girls entertain themselves by sticking their fingers into their armpits and forcing the other to smell them. Peyton blinked rapidly.
Ew.
Uh-huh. Ryan grabbed a covered tray sitting in the middle of the table beside them and pulled it close. Want a pickle? She asked as she peeked under the foil.
Not after what you just told me.
I have much grosser tales if you like to hear them. Peyton pretended to shudder.
I'll take your word for it. You know what I just realized? We both have unisex names.
Ryan regarded her with a look of amusement. That was random.
My brain works that way.
My name is really Rihanna, but my siblings called me Ryan and it stuck. Peyton shrugged.
I have no idea why my parents chose my name. My brother calls me Pei-Pei.
Melanie laughed and hugged at Jana when the volleyball bounced off her forehead. Ryan watched them with a warm smile. You know, I knew that Melanie and Jana hit it off the night they met in person, but I'm still surprised at how fast they've completely fallen for each other. It's sweet, like a fairy tale.
Yeah,
Peyton said, and Ryan picked up on the derision in her tone. You miss having your best friend all to yourself, don't you? Peyton nodded.
It's wrong to wish your bestie happiness, then be jealous when she finds it. She used to have trouble sleeping, and she'd show up at my place in the middle of the night with decadent treats. We'd eat and talk for hours. I've lost 6 pounds since she's been with Melanie. You've lost weight, too. Not that you had any to spare. Tell me you're not dieting.
Ryan's expression looked tense for a moment. I always drop a few pounds at the beginning of a school year and gain it all back during the holidays.
I imagine it's stressful. So many kids thrust into your life all at once. You're probably the teacher they come to when they have problems that aren't exactly academic.